Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, a moment that we were waiting for a long time. Nick Fuentes is back on Twitter. I've always kept a hope for this because I know that it was very important to Elon to be a free speech advocate, but as he realized himself, you can't be an advocate for free speech and run X and yet not let Nick Fuentes back on it. If you want to claim that you've made an amnesty, and that's what people kept repeating to him, he probably received millions of messages at this point since he owns Twitter, and they were right. You cannot say that you are for free speech and you're in the US. Nick Fuentes is in the US. Nick Fuentes has not violated the law in the US, and yet Elon was going around saying all that will get you banned from X is a violation of the law. That was absolutely false, and it's all about a random griper, apparently. Goya Bean Griper just tweeted at Elon. Elon was discussing... Elon was discussing with about something else, Joshua, that had nothing to do. Someone told him, "You work for the Jews." And he quoted Nick Fuentes saying, "Hey, what does it say about our society that the cops let BLM touch our cities but won't let students criticize Israel? It means Jews control America." That is the obvious conclusion. And Elon Musk answers, "While I don't condone all the actions of any one group, I must admit to being openly fellow-Semitic and generally try to see the good in all people." Amazing that that it was in a discussion like this that the Goya Bean Griper came in and said, "Bring back Nick Fuentes on Twitter. He has been banned since 2021. What happened to your promise, big guy?" And that was enough to convince Elon Musk. I guess he was tired. I've hypothesized on my X account that perhaps the ADL has not paid their bill for this month. Perhaps, you know, Elon always does something with a reason. And it would be absolutely possible that they unsubscribed from some service, they stopped some money flow toward Elon, and he had enough, and he pushed the Nick Fuentes button. Look at what he says in response to this. "Very well, he will be reinstated, provided he does not violate the law, and let him be crushed by the comments and community notes." Now that's Elon going a little bit, that's a nervous tweet. That's another one, just like yesterday I was analyzing. That is a nervous tweet by Elon claiming that Nick Fuentes will be crushed by the comments and community notes. I don't think Nick Fuentes will be crushed by the comments and community notes. I think that Nick Fuentes' arrival on X will re-motivate a lot of gripers to join X again. It will lead to a lot of mimetics. Pro-Israeli Zionist power is in shambles because Nick Fuentes is going to bring the contestation of Israel's action to a whole new level. And it was already bad for them. It was already not going very well with Elon Musk acquiring X and leaving that discussion open. Naturally, people converge back toward having a critical stance against Israel. And now Elon Musk, in a way, kind of recognizing that now, with the whole revolution that's happening in our universities, what's so special about Nick Fuentes? Because at this point, you have the far leftist Democrats taking over university buildings to contest the actions of Israel. So basically, the anti-Israel position has been regularized. at the cost of many lives, at the cost of of the lives of people like me. Not that I died, but we have sacrificed our life to get to this point where we can talk against Israel's action and against Jews' contribution to America critically. And in the current context, what's so special about Nick when you have the youth of our universities taking over buildings, committing violence at times, committing trespass sometimes? It's a very regular position and it's being normalized. And as was pointed out by Mark Braman, the loss of irreproachable prestige that Jews once enjoyed in this country will be to them traumatic in the extreme and not something to which others who have not enjoyed this privileged status can relate. Suddenly from superhero to super zero. It's gotta be tough. That's exactly what's happening right now. There is a complete loss on the side of the pro-Israel lobby. I don't know what Elon has wrong with them, but something has happened. And it made Elon change his mind on Nick Ferrantes. And again, in the nervous tweet, he says, it is better to have anti-whatever out in the open to be rebuted than grow simmering in the darkness. Those are liberal generalities. But he can't even say that Nick Ferrantes is anti-Semitic. That's how weak Elon's knowledge of Nick is. He doesn't even feel confident doing a critique. So I predict that within the next year or two, Nick Ferrantes will have a major influence on discourse, on the crowds of the internet, and on the election that's coming. This is so awesome. I couldn't have wanted 2024 to be as beautiful as this. I couldn't dream of it, but it's happening. Nick Ferrantes will be back. I said, seems like Elon has serious misconceptions about what Nick Ferrantes stands for. Anyways, good thing that Elon has now kneeled. Nick will be reinstated despite Elon's need to dissociate from him overtly using this nervous tweet. The amnesty is headed toward completion. Don't forget Mark Collett, Laura, Pat Alternative, Patriotic Alternative, Jared Taylor. There's lots of... And is it McDonald? Kevin McDonald is also to be unbanned. But now that you have Nick Ferrantes, there's no reason to keep these other people banned. You have the most controversial figure of our generation. You can easily unban less controversial figures. I hope Elon Musk will do it. This is a game changer for the election. It's a game changer because it complicates the thing for Donald Trump and his super Zionist approach. He's now there's going to be a voice in Nick Ferrantes who's probably going to side with Trump, of course, but he's going to be able to push Trump toward the non-Zionist direction. And this, I can't wait to see it. Naberius says, annoying how rolling back censorship on X comes purely from luckily grabbing Elon's attention when he's in the liberal mood. That is a sad thing, that Elon couldn't go out of his own principle. And, you know, his own principle should have guided him toward this. His own displayed and claimed principles should have guided him toward this without a fucking rando with a blue check mark just coming to him. But you gotta take what's given to you, and I take it. I think it's going to be very interesting because Elon at some point might very well be faced with the... I think that Elon's perception is completely wrong. Nick Ferrantes is not going to get attacked in community notes. They have no argument. And I would recommend, what I tell Nick Ferrantes right now, be careful. There will be lots of eyes on you. Check your facts. Don't make wild claims. Just you're going to trigger people with basic claims. So you don't need to even go as far as things that you're uncertain about, like Israel did 9/11. You don't even need to go there. Just state facts and make them unassailable by community notes. And that way they will see what's happening. That, no, it's not like Elon says, you're not going to be crushed. Because the left at some point gets tired of just saying, oh, well, that's racist. Okay, you can get someone saying this for a month, a year. They've been saying it now for a decade. And they have nothing. The only thing they have on their side is censorship. They realized that they were losing debates with us back in 2016, 2017. So the left is completely defeated on this front. The only thing that they got rolling for them is that they were successful at censoring the internet. So don't give them the branch to hit you with. Don't be loose on your facts and use this opportunity to give glory to your political view. Stephen Robinson says, JF, if the ICC arrests Bibi, do you think the dots will be connected to 9/11? That is such a wild speculation. I don't see the ICC arresting anyone. Certainly not Bibi Netanyahu. You know, the ICC has no standing. The ICC has no ability to execute an arrest warrant against someone as powerful as Bibi Netanyahu. Now, even if his power is flailing, with comparison to the last few years and decades, his power is diminishing because he lost the public campaign for support. He lost the position for his image. He lost the PR battle on his actions in Gaza. It was a desperate action, probably because he knew that he would lose the PR battle. And probably because the Jews are extremely afraid of the coming generation. The coming generation will be more anti-Zionist than any generation preceding in the U.S. And as Mark Braman was pointing out, it's going to be very hard for them because intellectual Jews, I've realized across the years, studying them, talking to them, and at times listening to them, I've realized that they truly have a double standard. They live with this bias for their ethnicity, and it's not going to be easy to be put back to be like the mold that gets whacked back to equality with everyone. They're really going to experience it as damage to them. They're going to experience it as an aggression. Just the fact that we won't join them in their genocidal campaigns, just the fact that people like Joe Biden even are starting to see that the base of the Democrat Party will not be maintainable if he goes too much on the side of Bibi Netanyahu. Now it's just starting. In 20 years from now, we won't just have a Joe Biden kind of warmish, you know, between hot and cold, not saying anything about Bibi Netanyahu, but also not supporting him. In 20 years from now, it will be, you have to put Bibi Netanyahu back in his place, or you won't have a position in the Democrat Party. Because no matter how much money the Jews want to throw at buying out politicians, at some point the voter base will just be such a, you have to either choose Zionism or you lose the election. It's going to be that way. See, AIPAC is trying to push I'm wondering if this news item has something to do with Elon Musk deciding in a direction, because AIPAC halts funding for 15 Republican lawmakers after a refusal to vote in favor for the $14 billion in Israel aid. So we have a part of the political class that is dissociating themselves from Jewish power. And at this point, they're like, okay, we, it's good money, but we're going to have to say no because we don't have a political career if we continue in that direction. And somehow, it's possible that Elon Musk has made a turn, realizing that there was no future that is irrationally Zionist. That he can continue going around and saying, oh, I love the Jews. Oh, I'm a fellow Semite. He can continue going around saying this, but it has to stop there. If you shut down the voices of opposition to Israel's action, if you shut down those people who are critical of Jews in America, you are on the side of, you'll go on the wrong side of history. And people are noting this is certainly linked in some form to the action we've seen from Elon. Alex Jones. Alex Jones also recently made quite a wild repositioning. I mean, he's going to tell you that it's not a repositioning. He's going to tell you that he's always been telling the Jews to deal with their own problem. But to be saying it with such voice and such intensity, I think that the dynamic here is changing. Listen to this.
Demand Benjamin Netanyahu take 20 Palestinians in his house.
So he's saying Israel should welcome the refugees that they cause. That is a far-right talking point. It's often the thought experiment that we propose to show the double standard of Jewish intellectualism, which tells you, oh, Western civilization must welcome all of these refugees, and yet Israel's action in the Middle East keep making the Middle East unstable, keep making it such that there are more refugees. So how about Israel deals with the problem that they cause?
And I demand his candy-ass son in Miami suit up in body armor and go to Gaza and fight these people or get the hell out of my world.
And if Benjamin Netanyahu is not willing to send his own child to die for Israel in the Middle East, Alex Jones is saying, leave us alone. Get out of my world. Leave us alone and deal with your own problems. I never knew we would get there in 2024. A reinstatement of Nick Fuentes. Alex Jones is saying, deal with your own problems to Israel. It's looking good. It's looking like a year of victory, just like 2023 was.
And I don't say that because I hate Jews. I say that because I'm not a toilet bowl you sit on and shit on. I'm not here to eat your fucking shit. You fucking got that?
Oh, my God. Yes, the snowballing is incredible. Snow John. A super chat was sent. Thank you so much, by the way, for those sending super chats. You know, I didn't collect income from Patreon or Subscribestar during my vacation, so I'm very happy that there are people still generous with the show. Thank you so much. Open Borders for Israel sends $5. He says, welcome back, JF. Demographics is destiny. Do you see Muslims taking over the Democrat Party with their numbers in the U.S.? Zionism is doomed. P.S. Is your show going to be illegal under new Canadian hate speech laws? It may very well be illegal, so I hope that this law will not pass. But if it passes, I might very well have to delete every previous shows ever. If I stay in Canada, they're going to... And if I stay in Canada and I host the shows, they're going to say that because I have deletion power on Odyssey, that I am responsible for these publications. So, I hope that the law will not pass. I hope that the circumstances will be such that I can keep my shows on the internet. But, you know, if you have space on your hard drive and you like distributing torrents, now would be a very good time to download all of the shows on my Odyssey account and keep them in an archive somewhere and put them available, because as long as I have power of deletion over the show, that's how the Canadian law works. Now, I don't know, will there be some system where maybe I could abandon the password of my Odyssey account and keep streaming on it? What happens if I do this? It seems that the law says, as long as you keep the control of deletion, it's your publication. But if I don't keep the control for deletion, I don't know, maybe one of you guys could have the password and I could be like, well, you know, those are just my thoughts, but I'm not the publisher of them. Open Borders for Israel is publishing them and he has my password. I don't know if that could be, we'll have to analyze the law when it's finally published and written and passed. But it's not looking good. Zionism is doomed concerning the Muslim taking over the Democrat Party with their numbers in the U.S. The domination of the Muslim population in the U.S. is not as strong as in Europe and in Canada, because Muslims really don't like the U.S. and they don't like being headed toward the U.S. So they don't immigrate toward the U.S. as intensively as they do toward Europe and toward Canada. So I don't think you are in a situation in the U.S. for a Muslim takeover, because your minority situation in the U.S. is very different from France, from England, and everything in Europe. Your minority situation is you already had a minority, which is the blacks, which was not so present in Europe. You have a growing minority, which is the influx of Mexicans, South Americans, Hispanics, as you call them. And the black population is stable, so that will be a minority that will always have its weight in the balance, but it's not growing. The Hispanic population is growing and the white population is going down. Within that circumstance, the Muslims, they come in relatively small number, because there's truly anti-Americanism across the Muslim population. They don't like America, understandably, given that America has been, striking their countries forever. So although you will have a growing contingent of Muslims in America, they won't get to the point of dominating a political party. They will just represent one of the minorities that you need to have, but that gets with other minorities to have political claims and to make political teams. So it will matter to the history of the Democrat Party, but not to the point where they will take over it. Open Borders for Israel sends $3. He says, what are your thoughts on Daniel Dennett's passing? Well, I've explained my thoughts at the beginning of yesterday's show. So go watch yesterday's show. My thoughts is, I can't believe that these motherfuckers are dying on me, not reading the Revolutionary Phenotype. I cannot believe it. These people are choosing to not understand one of the most fascinating ideas in evolution ever. They're going into the dark, silent night, and they don't want to know. Well, fuck them and fuck Daniel Dennett. I've been talking to Daniel Dennett in person once in my life. I was at Duke University, and he came to a group of students, like kind of a Q&A, and we were like 15 students in a circle. And I mean, I wasn't a student, I was a postdoc, but so he didn't strike me as revolutionarily intelligent. He didn't strike me as super intelligent. He just struck me as he had a history behind him of writing books. But, you know, I was talking to him about machines and producing consciousness with machines, and the idea that if all we are is the mechanisms of our brains, then we must be able to produce a machine that feels exactly like a human. To me, that is a test question. If you can't say this, you don't understand something about your own position. And I remember him not being very convincing on this, kind of claiming that, yeah, you can't really, if you create a machine, it's going to feel different from humans. And it's like, no. If it has the exact same connections as the human brain, it will feel exactly like a human. And if, you know, if you're missing something, then maybe it will feel different. But if you were to make an electronic circuit that is exactly like the human mind, it would feel like the human mind. I don't remember exactly what he answered to this, but I remember being kind of disappointed by the display of intelligence. I remember that there was a little, he wasn't totally warm to that idea. I wish I remembered better what he said, but something kind of piqued my feeling of, okay, this guy doesn't understand. Naberius says he was long retired from being an actual professor. Oh, yeah, he's talking about Richard Dawkins. Yeah, Richard Dawkins is like, the only thing that you have to sacrifice at this point is your historical, like, reputation, if you will. And if you think that my historical reputation will not at some point get better than you, you're wrong, Richard Dawkins. If you think that it will matter to the people of the future whether some Newsweek magazine is making hit pieces about me, they won't give a shit. All they will care about is two things: the revolutionary phenotype and my letter to humans on the Bitcoin blockchain. In 1,000 years from now, that's all that's left from me. And maybe if I had babies, the babies that they will have. But that's it. So your historical reputation is impossible to affect by engaging with my ideas. The only kind of reputation that you lose by engaging with my ideas is normie 2024 reputation. It's that, oh yeah, maybe you're going to get a hit piece written on you, but it will be a dishonest hit piece. And isn't it the time for ideas to shine? Isn't it the time for rationality to shine? If you want to go spectacularly, Richard Dawkins, if you want to go out and people will remember you forever as being someone who engages with ideas for what they are, like you wrote in The Selfish Gene, engage with the revolutionary phenotype, just like you promised in The Selfish Gene that you would engage with the IDs. People are sending me Kurt Russell tweets, open borders for Israel. Okay. Trump to address libertarian convention in move that has members debating merits. These libertarians, these people of the Libertarian Convention and the Libertarian Party, they're hilarious because they're not even actual libertarians. They're just, they are soft leftists. They defend something called left libertarianism. To some degree, each of them is in one way or another a left libertarian. And they're like, oh my God, Trump. Can we handle Trump? They need their safe space. It's like they are, oh, can we let Trump speak? Well, if it crosses your mind to be asking this question, you're not a libertarian. Donald Trump will address the Libertarian Party National Convention in a move that promises publicity for America's largest third party while giving Trump an opportunity to shake some non-uniparty votes in his direction. At the same time, however, Trump puts himself at risk of injuring hostile elements in the crowd aimed at a candidate with many decidedly non-libertarian tendencies. Trump's pending appearance has also exacerbated some divisions within the Libertarian Party, with some members questioning the wisdom and propriety of putting Trump in the Libertarian spotlight, and others saying it's a smart move for multiple reasons. Yeah, well, let Trump engage with the Libertarian Party, but they are right here in saying Trump is not a libertarian. Trump is a solid statist, and there's no reduction of the size of the state under Trump other than rules, maybe red tape being reduced for efficiency. But Trump is very much for a continued big American state. Lendolt Guntram says, isn't Dawkins going to have some show on X, at least some show under his patronage or something like that? I saw some exchange between Musk and someone associated with that show, perhaps Dawkins himself. I haven't heard of this. Let me tell you that if you have a show about rationality and you can't engage rationally with the revolutionary phenotype, it's going to fizzle out inevitably, just like the atheist community, just like these skeptic secular YouTubers that there was before my generation came in. I mean, it's all they were skeptic, but they were incapable of being skeptic the moment you mentioned race. So this whole branch of thinking is lost. Because there you have a bunch of people who say, oh yeah, we love rationality, we love the truth. You drop just one truth in their face and the whole thing crumbles. It's like a house of cards. The whole militant atheist crowd that Richard Dawkins had built back then. So if I don't know if he is planning a show, but if he is, he better do something else than what he's already done, which is push forward a bunch of voices who are unable to interface with the truth because these truths were annoying to them morally, because they were such liberals that they hadn't planned that at some point the truth would come against them. What is the truth of the revolutionary phenotype? Well, that science is telling us to stop science. Science is telling us to stop research in the genetic direction because we're about to unlock destructive powers that will inevitably turn against us. That is not a moral belief. It is not a, I'm not telling you we have to, we should. I'm telling you, it is what's about to happen. I'm telling you factually, I've looked into the theory of evolution, and this is where we're headed. We will become a queen ant type of species. We are headed in the direction of full central control of genetics in humans. Of course, the militant atheists don't want to hear that truth. The secularists, because they want to be in that, the same deception I've been talking about yesterday. I was talking about the great deception forward, the great delusion that there is always growth. The secularists have their own version of this, which is there is always progress. There is always something to discover. Science has never been bad for us. Okay, that's true. I agree. Science generally, I mean, it may make a false step like the COVID vaccine stuff, but generally, you know, science only give us good. And if it's bad, you just reject it. Like if there's a bad medication produced, reject it. But in general, science gives us offers, which we can always choose toward the good direction. But the offer of the phenotypic revolution is something we should reject from the beginning. We should kill it in the egg because it's not stoppable once you start. Now, people like Richard Dawkins don't want to hear this because they want to have ever-growing funds for science, funds for universities, funds for research. We have to stop this because the populations that are paying these funds, the taxpayer, they don't know they're about to cause their own destruction. And if you had someone like who was it, the Jewish comedian who does something like the Colbert Show, whatever his name is, he came out and he said, scientist, we love you, but you're about to kill us, so you're going to have to stop. You know, talking about the COVID stuff and everything. He's right. He's right. Rodi Lacid says, not all research is equal. Yeah, John Stewart is his name. John Stewart came strong when he said to scientists, we love you, but you're about to kill us, so we're going to have to stop you. That was in very much in line with what I discovered in the Revolutionary Phenotype. And anyways, even leaving aside my own pet subject of the Revolutionary Phenotype, just the truths of race, they couldn't handle these secularists. Which is why there's not much left of this community. It's not growing. Like, it's, you have the people who were big have survived, and they will continue until they die to make their videos and, oh, how rationality is good. But what about the rationality of engaging with all truths? What about the rationality of not having blind spots? If you want to show strong morals, if you want to be a man, if you want to show balls, you should not just engage with the truths you select, because that's pretty easy. Like, oh yeah, I can take a blue-haired feminist and mock everything that she says, and I've done it back in the Kraut and Tea days. I mocked what Kraut was saying, but at some point, if you want to grow into an adult male, you need to say, not only am I going to debunk the most stupid stuff, I'm going to actively search for the truth. And there's a world of difference between debunking the most stupid stuff and searching for the truth. Up to now, the secularists have shown us that they have this childish mentality of debunking, 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 throwing the spotlight toward the ridicule, toward the low parts, you know, grabbing the low-hanging fruits. That is what defines Richard Dawkins' intellectual inheritance up to now. And he has a chance before he dies to engage with the revolutionary phenotype and try to pick a fruit at the top of the tree. I would very much like him to do so. Biden satisfies no one with lackluster speech decrying anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. So Biden, very at the middle. Of course, the American policy is still very much Zionist. Okay, let's not deceive ourselves. America is still dominated by Zionist interests. But it's beautiful to see that the leader of the Democrat Party cannot be fully, openly Zionist. Like, he's starting to feel the boiling water of his voting base. And they are realizing that if they were to just side blindly with Benjamin Netanyahu, they would trigger a part of their base and possibly lose the election. So it's good to see that there's big wins on this side. Big W's. Lauren Wisk says, Daily Wire secretly putting a gag order on Candace Owen should not surprise anyone. Yeah, we learned that basically, you know, back in those days where they were saying, oh yeah, we want a debate between Shapiro and Candace when they were firing her. Oh yeah, we are open to a debate. I knew that this wasn't the case. The policy of Shapiro has always been not to debate any intelligent opponent. It's always been to pick up the lowest hanging fruit. Again, this has been the strategy on the right too, not just in the secularist community. So to imagine him going one-on-one with Candace Owen on a fair platform, I wasn't believing that what the CEO of Daily Wire was saying, that yes, they were open to this. I don't think so. And in fact, we learned that while they were saying publicly that they were open to do this, they were also privately working with an arbitration specialist to put a gag order through arbitration on Owens so that she would stop inviting Shapiro to a debate. So they were like, oh yeah, we want to debate. Oh yeah, we can debate. And on the other hand, privately, they were working to legally make her incapable of debating and incapable of saying she wanted to debate. That is a next level dishonesty. To be able to say at the same time, synchronously, publicly, I want to debate, and privately take actions to stop the debate. That is the kind of dishonesty I've come to expect from the Daily Wire. Police crackdown at UCLA. the speech of Joe Biden in response to this was very mellow. It was like, oh yeah, don't do violence, but at the same time, you have free speech rights. So it was not taking sides at all.
We've all seen the images. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld.
And so taking position against violence, but not against the speech aspect of the protest. Biden is done, says Lindahl Guntram. Yeah, it's probably so soft that I don't think he can get an enthusiastic base below him. I don't think he can get out there in this 2024 election and strongly show that he has strong support. He was able to get support because there was first the COVID stuff that they pulled, which messed up with the voting patterns and allowed certain forms of voting that advantaged the Democrat machine. And at the same time, they had developed such a hate against Trump through mediatic coverage. But now that Trump is kind of pushed to the side in Truth Social, you never really get to hear Trump unless you want to. And that may be a problem in the coming election, that the people who voted for Joe Biden, it was out of frustration from Trump. But if you shut down Trump, put him to the side, and he's not making noise in his corner of the internet, then he's gathering the very same base of active supporters. But at the same time, he's not gathering the hate of the Democrats. Can the Democrats win without hate? That is a question. We'll see in 2024. We'll see this year. Rudy Lucid says, many Democrats are also stuck because they have been conditioned to reject Trump no matter what. That is also true. There is a blockade. They're kind of traumatized. And, you know, with all these psychologists, Democrats obsessed about trauma, you can think that it's bullshit. But actually, I believe that these people are self-traumatizing. I believe that they experience real trauma with respect to Trump. Like, they have the brain of someone who has been violated in the past. It's just that they haven't been violated. But that's the whole story of the current woman, you know? The current woman is imagining harm in the past at a faster rate than the harm actually gets committed. That's why you end up having so much false allegations. They are basically paranoid in the past. That's an interesting concept because we think of paranoia in the future, but there is a paranoia in the past. There is a fake trauma that you will see in the kind of psychologist woman, leftist woman. You'll see that a lot. Renewed regulatory pressure on Bitcoin is no surprise, nor will it change anything over the long haul. We've always said that the rise of Bitcoin and non-state fintech was a monetary regime change, and that it would be naive to expect the entrenched powers that be and incumbent establishments to go down without a fight. Yes, that is that is what I was thinking, looking at the depression on social media around Bitcoin. It's like, you guys don't have a fight in you. I made a tweet during my vacation that was saying, is this your first time fighting the state, huh? I feel like some Bitcoiners are in this for the first time, and they are not used to having the whole system go after them. But this is what you signed up for. You are creating monetary resistance against the most powerful regime in the world. You are creating an alternative money, and you thought it was all going to be pink and, oh yeah, we're all going to be gamboling in the forest like ponies and hand in hand. No! You are striking at the heart of... I wish I could explain how intense the fight of the Bitcoiners is to them. Like, the forces you are fighting are the exact same that Adolf Hitler once fought, okay? Like, it's not even my goal to be edgy tonight, okay? But what led to Adolf Hitler becoming the most evil man in the world is that he took issue with money. And what led the leader of Libya to be attached on top of a car dying is because he was attacking money, okay? Let me show you the picture. Leader of Libya attached on a car. I don't even remember his name. The Colonel Gaddafi, of course. My father worked for him. My father was a welder, and late in his life, he went to direct a welding of pipes for Gaddafi, leader of Libya. So Gaddafi dying. Are they censoring it? I can't. Okay. It's this picture. But, you know, they attached him on a car, and he was filled with blood, and he was half conscious. This is how all that they will show me. Somehow, even the search engines are being censored at this point. But you need to understand that if you're a Bitcoiner, you're trying to do at a larger scale and in a more efficient way what this guy was merely trying to do in his own country. He was just trying to have a monetary basis for the Middle East. It would have been normie money. It wouldn't have revolutionized the world, okay? But this guy got bloodied, and even at some point, Hillary Clinton was saying, "We came, we saw, and he died." This is the craziness that you're raising into the political elite. You can't go after money and not raise the crazy Hillary Clinton rule. So when you decide to be a Bitcoiner, keep in mind that at some point you may be bloodied and on a car, and you may have Hillary Clinton laughing at your death. This is the basic case that awaits you. You're lucky that you're still in your bedroom complaining on Twitter that the price isn't rising fast enough. Did you know you signed up for this? That's what you signed up for. This is what I want to tell the Bitcoiners today. It's like, they're like, oh no, a drop of 3,000 more today. Oh no, we're down 29% on my bag. Bro, revolution is not easy. Anyways, the U.S. is constructing a base in chaos-torn Haiti, but it hit a major snag. The Biden administration's plan to restore order to Haiti by sending an armed international force has hit another snag. The base that will house the soldiers will not be ready by the date they are set to arrive in the Caribbean nation. Oh my God. I don't think you can save Haiti. I think you're going to need so many more men than this. While the U.S. plan called for 1,000 Kenyan armed men. So we're having Kenyans, but now it's only 200 that are going. You're not going to restabilize Haiti with 200 Kenyans. Try restabilizing Chicago with 200 Kenyans. Just, I mean, it's unbelievable. This is, the deployed forces are not sufficient. My understanding, Kenyans, they're all black. It's not going to be white soldiers. So here you have a picture with white soldiers, but it's not what's going to happen. The fact is, Haiti has turned into an all-black place. We've covered this on the show with Frame Games back in the day, and it's going to be a shit show forever. Unless you want to send 20,000 troops, 50,000 troops, like if you want to have a troop equipped on each corner of each street of Haiti forever, that's pretty much all that will stabilize Haiti, and it will not have a permanent effect. Let the country go to its full bottom of the barrel, just like you would do for Africa. And finally, as a last news item, whistleblower reveals how new knowledge cybersecurity firm created disinformation in American election. The revelations are pretty much a standard scheme that we've heard about and we've called out before. It's that they came into the election and they started claiming that some report was underlined by Russian interest. And it wasn't. So the fake Russia, Russia, Russia. But we've been knowing this for years that they're lying about this. And they orchestrated an elaborate false flag operation that planted the idea that the Moore campaign was amplified on social media by a Russian botnet. The whole stories of Russian botnet, we've never believed them. They have always been rejected. They were always just passed into these Democrat journalistic networks. It never really came to be a primetime belief of Americans, but they were trying this hard. They were trying to make it a truth. And it was all about the Republican candidate this time, Roy Moore. So apparently they targeted this one candidate, Republican candidate, and they started claiming, oh, he's being retweeted by Russians. He's being pushed forward by Russians. It was all bullshit. It was what she calls herself, a false flag. Okay. MI5 surveillance van says Sadiq Khan was elected for a second term as mayor of London in May 2021. He is up for re-election today. He is chair of C40 cities. He brought in low-emission neighborhoods and thus 15-minute cities. He commands the support of 85% of Muslim voters in London. Yeah, well... Yes, the European situation is very much dominated by Muslims, so I expect them to have growing democratic power in the coming 100 years until they fully win the majority race, basically the reproductive race, toward complete domination of European countries. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, because we do need your support to keep going. I want to keep doing this all of my life, but I do need to live. And so if you'd like to support the show, if you're enthusiastic about the subjects we've been covering, go support the show on Patreon, Subscribestar, We need your constant monthly support, and that is so appreciated. It keeps me going. And Saturn Shine says, where is the tip link? I don't think there's a tip link. There's a tip link that shows on Odyssey, I think, once the video is published. But if you want to see a super chat option, you need to add a payment method in your Odyssey account. MI5 Surveillance Van sends a super chat. He says, I have references for the 85% claim. Muslims just vote along their own ethnic interest and they will bring down this regime. I fully agree. But I just don't think that in the US they will ever reach the power that they have, that they will have in Europe. But I agree. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.